Okay, it's 11:20. We're going to go ahead and get started. This presentation is going to be on contact policy. I've got to keep myself here. I can't walk around. Okay. So this is a new policy. We do not, obviously we do not have a policy in place for contract management. So the objective today is to get your input on a new proposed contract management policy concept and how that, what that should be. Okay. Well, let's see. My clicker is not working here. Let's see what's going on. Okay.
Hit enter.
Now go.
That's interesting. That's weird.
Yeah.
Technical difficulties. Please stand by.
Yeah, what the heck?
You just click on it.
Okay. Okay, so why are we doing a contract management policy? There's three reasons. It's required under statute RCW. There was a state auditor's office audit that has taken us down this path. And also, there was the governor requested this. I'm not sure the correct word is requested, but that's where we're going. So, and then also I want to share with you some of the research that I've done looking at some other states and some other contract management policies and things that are out there. Okay, so under statute, under 3926.080 part two, you can see the language that I've highlighted there. The director of DES is authorized to adopt rules, policies, and guidelines governing the procurement, contracting, and contract management of all goods and services procured by state agencies under this chapter. Another statute is specific to contract management is 3926.180, and it tells the department, again, the Department of Enterprise Services must adopt uniform policies and procedures for the effective and efficient management of contracts by all state agencies. These things include pre-contract procedures, model complaint and protest procedures, which we actually do have a policy in place for that now. ADR, alternative dispute resolution processes, incorporation of performance measures and measurable benchmarks in contracts, model contract terms, executing contracts using electronic signatures, criteria for contract amendments, post-contract procedures, procedures for terminating contracts, and then the catch-all, any other subject related to the effective and efficient contract management. There are some other sections to this statute, but those were going more to about performance-based contracts and those type of things, access to data, so they weren't relevant for our discussion today. So, let me say probably early last year, the state auditor's office did a performance audit. And it was the name of the audit's up there, Contract Assurances for Vendor-Hosted State Information Technology Applications. Basically what it was is there's I think five agencies, maybe seven agencies that they looked at. And these agencies are using applications that are hosted by a vendor. It's not in the state data center. And the concern is the confidential data that is in those applications and how that's being handled. They looked at whether the agencies included the appropriate language in their contracts with those vendors. They assessed where agencies were using leading practices when monitoring those contracts and those vendors, and assurances that in the contract, that if in the event that there's a breach of that data, that the state would be protected. So DES, there were findings in this audit or recommendations from this audit and that included DES, although we weren't part of the audit, because we are a central agency that's responsible for procurement goods and services. So what they asked us to do was to finalize policies and procedures to help agencies monitor IT contracts effectively and efficiently. At the time, we had a basic contract management training in place, and we were in the process of rolling out our advanced contract monitoring training, which has been completed now. That's out there for people to take. And they also asked that we agreed to create enterprise contract management and monitoring policy. And we did say that we would have that done by December this year. So that's our timeline. The third reason for this policy is the governor. He expressed concern with state agencies' contract management practices. He was concerned that agencies are including language in contracts that ensures performance. And he was concerned that the state wasn't getting what it was bargaining for. It wasn't across the board, but there were certain situations that came up that caused concern. Okay, so my research. I went out and looked at several different states. Those states are listed here at their contract management practices. I also looked at a couple of counties. King County had some information in place. I looked at some universities. There's University of Wisconsin in Madison, I believe it was, that had some contract policies in place. I reviewed and taken the training on the Washington State Contract Management Manual. That's part of the training class that we have. And I also looked at NASPO Contract Administration Best Practices Guide. I will say that with the most of the stuff that's out there for states, I didn't see a lot of policies. Policies weren't how they were handling it. Most of it was handled through manuals, those type of things. So it wasn't really policies. I'm not sure why I'm having such a problem with this PowerPoint. Okay, here we go. In the research that I did, what I was looking for was common topics across all of the different states and what they were concerned about or what they were implementing in their contract manuals and those type of things. So what I saw, these things kept coming up repetitively. Roles and responsibilities, basic kind of stuff, assigning a contract manager to the contract. Having contract monitoring plans. Another one that I saw quite often was kickoff conferences, and that's where the agency gets together with the contractor and there's some parameters around that. That's not under every contract. It depends on the contract and what the risk levels are. But you get together with the contractors, and that's where you kind of clarify issues, clarify contract language, what's in there, expectations, those type of things. You get all that stuff out on the table so everyone knows what's going on. Continuously monitoring contract performance. When you receive goods and services, what do you do? What do you do? Payment came up time and time again. Managing contract issues and disputes. And a lot of this was around escalation. What do you do when there is an issue, and at what point does it get escalated so that you can get the proper people involved to help resolve that issue or dispute before it becomes a big problem? Terminating contracts. That was part of that as well. What is needed to be retained in a contract file as you're going through and managing the contract? And of course, training. That came up time. What we're here today, we're really just today is, again, this is a new policy. I'm just kind of looking at from your perspective of what your agency needs in a contract management policy. Maybe the first question I'll ask is, of the agencies here, how many of you actually have a contract management policy in place? So I know DSHS does. Are there others that have them? Okay. So, you guys probably have some perspective on what's working and what isn't working. And so we're kind of looking at what is it that your agency needs in a contract management policy? And what is it that you need to ensure successful implementation of the policy? And the third piece is, those of you, how many people have had an opportunity to take the contract management training? So several of you have taken that. So that's good. And so should we incorporate aspects of the contract management training into the policy is another question I have. So I'll just kind of open it up for for feedback for discussion. Any ideas around what you may need in a contract management policy? Yes. Yeah, we're kind of backing into this a little bit different. Right, right, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Sarah? Oh, the comment was, I'm sorry, I just need to repeat the comment. The comment was that the policy should be dictating the training, not the other way around.
What level of monitoring or management they need to do other contracts. So maybe some minimum recommendations for a risk assessment, maybe as an exhibit or an attachment, you could have a sample risk assessment that folks would be able to use as a baseline or to develop upon.
Okay, so the comment was one of the agencies that actually has a contract management policy in place. One of the issues is around doing the risk assessment and figuring out what level of contract monitoring the agency should be doing. And so if we could provide some tools around doing baseline risk management. So, okay. Yep. Yes?
I used to work for DSHS, and I think that the at DSHS, there are dedicated contract managers throughout the agency, contract coordinators and key contract coordinators. And I think that the agency that I work for now, we do not have that. And I think what happens, how many agencies here do have dedicated contract managers other than DSHS? Well, I think what happens is that the management of contracts is not taken as the word seriously doesn't really work, but there's not as much space and time cleared for management of contracts. And I think that it suffers. Contract management suffers for that regard. It's just sort of piled on as another responsibility. And I don't know whether a policy can address the need for dedicated contract managers so that people understand that is an important part of their jobs in a particular position to have that role. We do have requirements for contract managers, but it's just a different feel to it, and it's just treated differently.
Okay, so the comment was that some agencies do have dedicated contract managers, why others do not, and that if the policy could somehow address that so that there is more emphasis given to the role or responsibility around contract management. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yes.
I was thinking about the different levels of contract management and that there needs to be some, you know, like DSHS has, you know, probably a much different contract management of their types of contracts than maybe our environmental land use, very small, very different. But, and I know that the training was in four different levels, and I'm just kind of thinking that maybe if the policy can sort of address that different layering and level of agency size and level of type of contract management.
So the comment was that different agencies have different contract levels of contract management that they need to do depending on what it is that they're purchasing, and could the policy address those levels of contract management? It's not a one size fits all, right? Yes.
Doesn't usually work out well.
Okay.
So, if there is somewhere we can say that it really should be someone who's involved with the contractor, who's working on the basis, who knows what's going on.
So, so can the policy address who should be in the contract manager role and to make sure that that person is someone who is close to the subject, close to the contract, knows what's going on, and is able to actually manage that contract. Is that correct? The comment was there needs to be clarity of expectations of what the contract manager around those contracts. Okay. Yes.
One of the big issues that
So the comment was that someone may start out managing a contract and may go into a different position and someone new comes in to manage the contract, and there needs to be something in the policy or something in the training materials or something in procedures, whatever that may be, that addresses transitioning to a new person taking over a contract midstream, I guess I would say. Yes. Okay, so the comment was contract professionals often do not aren't involved with the contract management. They only come in when maybe there's amendment or something, but there needs to be something in the policy that addresses the ongoing relationship between the contract professionals and the contract managers. Right? Okay. Yes. So, it is. So the comment was, do contracts actually contain milestones, right? And are those in every contract or not? And the short answer to that is, the part of the statute that I did not show here is about performance-based contracting. So that is a requirement that we have. So depending, as was mentioned earlier, depending on the contract, it will have milestones. And that in different different contracts have different levels of that. So. But is that something that should be included in the policy so that agencies are including those milestones in the contract? Right? Okay.
there might be some means of being able to make sure that that is happening, is that the contract management is done, as you know, the person managing the contract is involved in the process.
So the comment was, not always are the contract managers involved in the solicitation process, and that maybe the policy should address that they should have some role in that process as well. Okay. Yes.
From a larger perspective, I would ask, although all of these comments are really great, I would ask that you not get too granular in your requirements, because we have a robust monitoring process. So maybe it's a baseline requirement that the agencies then have discretion to expand upon. But like the comment from last year, we have 7,000 active contracts at one time. There's no way in heck that our procurement and contracting people can touch base on each of those. And there's no way that we can do those types of things monitoring. We're not the subject matter experts, and that's why we're structured the way that we are. So I would ask, not to make it too overly burdensome on the agency.
So the comment was not to get too granular in the requirements for the policy, but to set baselines and then let the agency implement that in their own environment, especially when an agency has a huge volume of contracts and how they can properly manage those. Yes?
It's up to the agency to decide what certain policies they need to implement.
Okay.
I agree that if you don't get too caught up in the weeds, I want this view up here as a policy, what are the minimums to keep us legal, to keep us out of trouble? It's up to us to determine the market, from the procurement side, what is the need in my area that I need to keep us going? I don't need policy to dictate how to buy a book. I just need to know, am I legal by the year? What are the amount of harvest? What's going to keep me from getting audited? What's going to keep me out of trouble with the vendor? Those are the things that I need to monitor on the policy side. It should be in our own first command of what we're doing internally to meet our requirements. Because everyone is different, and to get a big brand policy is going to be prohibitive to us getting out of that.
So the comment was for the policy to address minimum requirements and allow the agency, give the agency the discretion to implement stricter requirements if they feel that's needed, or whatever it is they need to manage those contracts.
I agree with that. I want to add that policy might not call it out. The policy could request or that there is some process within your organization where BFHS already have a contract management policy. That would be where I would think that that might be helpful if they have something.
So the comment was agreed with the last comment that we had, and that there could be that the policy says that you need to have a process in place, but that the agency determine what that is. Okay. Yes.
So from a monitoring standpoint, then there's going to be so probably over 10 years ago, there's vendors on the state. And one of the things I found helpful was to create a step policy measure so that when I went out to audit a vendor, they knew ahead of time exactly where I was going to hide up and on, and they could do a step policy. Or agencies that have, you know, a lot of contracts, you know, 7,000 or more, they can't, you know, audit all those contracts. But if a policy of something could be created, perhaps, where there was set auditing to use, and those vendors could set audit themselves, you know, align with it exactly, but an auditor would come out auditing that could help, you know, both the vendor and the agency.
Well, the comment was that the comment was that vendors want to be in compliance with the contract, and one thing that may help them is that if we share the tools so that they can self-audit ahead of the audit requirements, ahead of the time for the audit, so that they can remain in compliance. Correct? Okay. And that be addressed in the policy. Any other comments? There was one comment, but I just want to go back to this just for a second for those of you who have taken the training. Should the policy be based on aspects of the contract management training? So some of these things that have been mentioned today are in that training. Some of the tools and those type of things are available through that training. So, yes. So, Jamie, I kind of defer to you on that one. I don't think now it's through the LMS. The question was, can vendors take the contract management training? And the answer is yes, it's available on our website. Yeah, for free. Yeah. Yes. So for consistency, the training, the policy should be based on the training. Okay. Any other thoughts around that, the training? Please. So any other just general comments about the contract management policy? Anything else that comes to mind? It's a very good comment so far. It helps a lot. It helps us give some direction. Okay, well, if there are no other comments, here's our this slide presentation will be provided on our website. So here's our contact information. This is the mailbox where you can send your feedback to, below is a link to our website. And we thank you very much for being here today. Take the time to be here to help us with this. Thank you very much.